This is Hamilton's Alternative, 101.5, The Hawk FM.
Hey everybody, happy new year. I can't believe it's 2022 already, but I hope the year treats you better than 2021 did. I certainly hope so for myself, and I hope you've had a fantastic Tuesday. That's really all we can do right now, is just take it day by day. In case this is your first time, I'm Sarah Jessica, and this is Hot Shots on Air, and it's the first episode of the new year, so this is exciting. And tonight, I am hanging out with Marley Unknown. She is an R&B singer-songwriter based in Toronto. And you can find Marley on her socials and on all streaming services as Marley Unknown, but with the O as an X. So, hey, Marley.
Hey.
Thank you so much for joining me.
I'm great. I'm excited to be here. And yeah, I'm so happy that you asked me to be on the podcast. I was really excited about it. So I can't wait to talk to you about my music and all of the things that I'm doing moving forward. So yeah.
Yeah. I'm totally excited as well. So I think, like, just to kind of start everything off, just in case, just to give a little bit of an introduction for you, how would you describe your sound and style as a musician?
So I would describe myself as, I would say R&B kind of fusion. Mm-hmm. So I do have a lot of influences, like there's like a little like gospel soul influence in some of my music. And there's also a little bit of, like Caribbean vibe to my music as well. Mm-hmm. And then aside from that, just like the classic R&B, and I have a lot of influences from 2000s R&B. So yeah.
Yeah, totally. Who would you say are your biggest musical influences? I meant to say influences and inspirations, but either one.
So, I would say my biggest musical influence is probably Whitney Houston. Mm-hmm. I grew up on Whitney Houston, and she was kind of like, she was always playing in my house, and her music was very special to me because it was kind of the first time I fell in love with R&B music, and fell in love with just beautiful and insane vocals. And I would say, like, other people that influenced me, definitely Beyonce. She's like a mogul and like probably the biggest R&B pop star. And I also take some lots of other people. Like, I love Jhené Aiko. I'm a huge fan of her. Chloe and Holly. Like, there's a ton of beautiful souls in the music industry that I take from and that I listen to and kind of get inspired from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. What do you feel as though you take from the artists that influence you the most?
So it kind of depends. I like different aspects of different artists. So, I would say, like, for Jhené Aiko, I take a lot from, like, her writing styles, and, like, her storytelling, kind of very vulnerable music. And then I would say, like, from Beyonce, kind of her fusion and her ability to adapt to different genres, and still being true to that R&B core. And then, yeah, I think that it just depends on who it is. Like, I have favorite parts of people's music, you know, so I kind of pick it apart and choose, what I like and what I kind of want to implement in my own music.
Totally. Yeah. Do you remember what you listened to as a kid or what was played in your house growing up? And do you feel as though those early influences have an impact on your current style?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, my mom grew up in the Bronx of New York when hip hop was literally taking over. Mm. And so there was a lot of 90s hip hop playing. There was always a lot of gospel music. My dad is a pastor, so lots of gospel. And again, just like R&B, growing up, I listened to a lot of Alicia Keys, like very like classic, you know. And yeah, like those are mostly the things that I grew up around. One thing that a lot of people don't know is that my dad is a huge fan of country music. And mm-hmm. so I also grew up with a lot of country and country gospel. So that has a little bit of influence in my music sometimes too. It's very subtle, but yeah.
Cool. That's awesome. I love that variety.
Thanks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like my family tried to keep it pretty eclectic so that we didn't kind of just like stick to one type of thing. But they did a very good job of introducing us and, you know, opening up doors to kind of looking at things that we wouldn't otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you feel as though that lends a certain amount of uniqueness to your sound?
Yeah, I think it does. I also listen to a lot of theater, a lot of music theater. So I feel like my songs are all so different from each other. I wouldn't even say that I have like a signature sound. Right. I think that my signature sound is that I don't have one. Mm-hmm. All of my songs are so different from each other, and they all have pulled from different things, different genres, different artist influences. And so, yeah, I definitely think that it carries a lot of weight on the music that I write and release.
Mm-hmm. What do you feel as though is the biggest difference between the music that you were raised on and the music that you listen to the most now?
I would just say, honestly, it's just a different time. Mm-hmm. I think now music is a lot more accessible to make. So I feel like there's also a lot of replicas now. So genres are kind of blended together.
Yeah.
Whereas we didn't really have that before. Like if you're listening to like rock music, you're listening to rock music. If you're listening to hip hop, you're listening to hip hop. But now there are like so many people that kind of blend so many different genres, like MGK and like even Eminem and like a bunch of people. Who else? Lil Nas X mixing country and hip hop. Like it's just really cool nowadays that you can kind of find whatever you want, any mood that you want. And it doesn't have to be specific to any one thing. But yeah, I think that's kind of like the difference. And I like it. I like being able to have the option of having that old school style where everything is very traditional, but then also like coming into like, you know, 2010s, 2020s, where we now have like all of these blends of genres, and it's really cool to see.
Totally. Yeah. When was the first time that you listened to a piece of music, and like whether that's an album or a song, and you thought, wow, I wish I made that?
The first time, I think that I listened to the Preacher's Wife soundtrack. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with The Preacher's Wife. It's a movie. It's a Christmas movie starring Denzel Washington and Whitney Houston. And essentially it's about him like coming to Earth as an angel, but Whitney Houston is in it. So obviously there's music. And my parents used to put on these like Christmas plays every year, and they would like take some of the music from it, but I never actually sat down and listened to the full soundtrack. And when I listened to it, I was like taken away. I was like, this is what I want to be doing. Like, this is how I want to make other people feel. And it definitely like shifted my mindset when it came to music and kind of like wanting to more so pursue that as a career.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that's what got you into musical theater?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Soundtracks, music theater are some of my favorite music of all time.
Yeah. Yeah. What are some of your favorite, like, theater productions?
My favorite musical, I would have to say right now, is In the Heights. Mm. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it is. It was written by Lin-Manuel Miranda, mm-hmm. and he is also the one who wrote Hamilton.
Yeah.
In the Heights is the first musical he wrote that got onto Broadway, and it's kind of like reggaeton, hip-hop kind of mix, and it's the greatest ever.
Yeah.
They just released the movie version of it this year, which was fantastic for me. I actually got to be in that musical in high school.
Awesome.
Yeah, and so that's like one of my favorite musicals. Classics, I love Les Mis, also mm-hmm. beautiful soundtrack. Honestly, all of them. I love Book of Mormon.
Me too.
Definitely one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely seen that one more than two or three times.
Oh, yeah. You have to.
Yeah, I just honestly, I love them all. Every musical that I've seen, I love it. I love when people tell stories through music and theater, and just all of those arts coming together is just like such a beautiful feeling. There's quite nothing like it, to be quite honest with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you play any instruments?
So I doodle. Mm. I can play to save my life.
Yeah.
I play guitar a little bit. I can, you know, pick out piano lines or play some chords. And I just started teaching myself to play the bass. So,
cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Is there anything you really want to get into that you haven't tried yet?
The bass is one of my biggest ones.
Mm-hmm.
I have been meaning to and wanting to learn this instrument forever. One of my favorite instruments. And, yeah, so probably that. And, I would love to like master electric guitar, because I just think like if you play guitar, you're top tier.
That'd be very cool. It'd be like a one woman band.
Right? Exactly. Yeah.
Did you start singing originally, or like dabbling in an instrument originally, or what came first?
So I started singing originally.
Mm-hmm.
I started singing at church in the children's choir. And mm-hmm. As for most of the people that sing at R&B,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, I kind of just went from there. I realized that I really liked it and that I was pretty good at it. And I just kept kind of working from there. And then that kind of grew my love for music, and I started dabbling in other things.
Cool. When do you think you began to look at music as something more than a hobby?
I want to say after I graduated high school.
Mm-hmm.
I always was in music. I was always in the music Toronto scene. I've had the opportunity of performing at a lot of great events, a lot of pretty big events with a lot of cool artists. But I kind of just did it for fun. Like, I thought it was a cool time, and singing was great, and it connected me to a lot of people. But then when I graduated, I was like, okay, so what do I want to do? I ended up going to college for something completely different, but then finding my way back into music. And yeah, I would say like that after high school, first year of college was kind of like that defining moment for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, totally. When did you start creating music? And do you remember the first song that you wrote?
This is so crazy. So mm-hmm. I really actually just started writing my own and releasing my own music within the last year and a half.
Cool.
I never liked writing. I never wanted to write music. Yeah. I never felt like I was good at it. And I had a friend that was like, you need to just sit down and trust yourself and trust your gut. You know music and you know what you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
So just sit down one day and be vulnerable with yourself and allow yourself to just be creative. And so I was living alone at the time, and I sat down, and yeah, it was maybe, I want to say 2.5 years ago, I wrote my first song. Never showed it to anybody, never released it, but it was the first song that I was very, like, proud of writing and that I actually liked.
Cool.
Yeah, so pretty recently.
Awesome. Look at that.
Right?
Did you ever study music or, like, take professional lessons?
So I never studied music in school, but I did take private vocal lessons with a vocal coach here in Toronto. He's amazing. His name is Andrew James, and he is like a choir director at a church. I was referred to him by one of my music friends, and he's fantastic. I worked with him for about half of the year, and then I guess he kind of got busy, so we didn't really get to finish things. But within that 6 months, he really, like, elevated my vocal skills on a different level. And so I've just kind of taken what I learned from him and continued it in my own music journey.
What do you think was the most important takeaway from those lessons with him?
I think it was just being honest with myself and being more disciplined. I think that when you grow up and you have like a raw talent, like when, you know, if you're good with people or if you're like, I don't know, good at math, sometimes you feel like, you know, I'm already good. Like I'm elevated. I know I'm great at this. I don't really need to work at it. And one thing he always taught me was no matter how good you get, you can always be better. And to just listen to yourself and listen to your body. And as much as you want to do what's comfortable, sometimes you have to like step out of your comfort zone to get to where you want to be. And so, yeah, he was like, it's okay to be a little bit hard on yourself, not to the point where it's like, you know, self-deprecating or anything, but it's okay to be hard on yourself and want more than what you have. And so I've always taken that and just, I'm always trying to elevate and see how I can get to the next level.
Yeah, totally. Do you remember the first time that you performed live in front of an audience?
Oh my goodness, yes. It was torture.
Yeah.
I must have been maybe 6 years old, 6 or 7 years old. Wow. And my mom begged me to sing the solo in the church's Christmas production. I was terrified. I was like, I don't want to do this. Please don't make me do it. Like, I was so used to just like singing in the choir with everyone else. And she's like, no, I need you to sing the solo. I'm like, no, don't make me do it. And I cried all the way up until I walked on stage. And I was terrified the whole time through. obviously, like, I got over it after a while, but there was definitely a moment where I was like, oh my God, I never want to do this again. And then I was like, okay, but I kind of do. It was kind of fun.
Yeah. Do you remember the first time that you performed live and you felt really confident doing it?
Yes, I do. And that was actually pretty recently too. I've always had like stage fright. I have a little bit of like social anxiety, so I don't actually like speaking in public or like even interviews are so awkward for me because I'm like, oh man, like what do I say? What if I say something weird or like what if I mess up?
Well, you're doing great, so.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It was Honey Jam. I auditioned for Honey Jam with a girl group the first time, but then the second time I did it, I went as a solo. And that night, I think it was in 2015 or 2016, the night that we had the actual showcase, I was so scared until I walked on stage and sang the first note, and I just felt like I was a completely different person after that. It was definitely, like, a life-changing moment. I felt, like, so comfortable. I felt like that was where I needed to be. And I kind of, like, honed in on, like, my confidence, and that was one of my favorite shows ever to this day.
Awesome. When was it again? Sorry, I missed that.
I think it was in 2016, I believe.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think you've been a part of recent Honey Jams, haven't you?
So I think that was the last time I did Honey Jam. I'm trying to figure out if it was 2016 or 2017. But yeah, it was, I guess, relatively recently. I did it with a girl group first, and then I did it alone, and since then, I've been, like, in contact with, like, a bunch of amazing Toronto female musicians. So, yeah, that was a really big and great opportunity that I never thought I was going to get, because when I auditioned, I was like, I'm not established as an artist in any way. I was kind of just like, whatever happens is whatever happens. I'm just going to go and audition. And I was so surprised when I got the call saying that I was going to be in the showcase. It was it was fantastic.
Yeah, totally. Do you think you'd be a part of a girl group again?
I would love to. That is my lifelong dream.
Cool.
You know, growing up on, like, Cheetah Girls and, like, Destiny's Child and, you know, like, the Pussycat Dolls, like, that era of just, like, girl groups was so massive in, like, the early 2000s. That's, like, my lifelong dream. If there's any way that I could, like, end my career, I would love to end it being in a girl group.
Yeah. What do you think you would look for in, like, your ideal girl group?
Honestly, I just would love to be with, like, other people who love music as much as I do. And I think that that always tends to be the issue with girl groups. It's kind of like two or three of them are, like, super interested and super excited about it, and then there's, like, always somebody that kind of is not taking it as seriously, which then kind of makes the dynamic, you know, it kind of messes things up in the long run, as we've seen. Like, there's literally not one girl group, I think, that's made it. But, yeah, I would just want everybody to be on the same page and, like, everybody to just love music the way that I do. And I think that if that is the case, then it could definitely be successful.
Totally, yeah. Would you want your girl group to be, like, R&B focused? Would you want to lean more pop? Would you want to, what do you think?
I would say it would probably be more R&B focused, but certainly not opposed to stepping into other genres as well.
Yeah. Sounds great. Well, I hope that for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. How did your family and friends react to you pursuing music?
That's a really good question. So my family has always been very supportive of me singing. But I don't think that they thought that I would want to do it as, like, a long-term career. And I don't know, like, I mean, as a second-generation person living in Canada, you know, our parents are never really, like, jazzed about us stepping into the arts as a career, you know?
Most parents aren't.
Exactly. So you're like, oh, man, like, I want to be a poet. And they're like, a poet? How is that going to pay your bills, you know? So I think one of the things that I had to do to kind of, like, get them to come around was, like, compromise. Like, as I said, I went to school for something different, and my dad specifically, he's a very big education guy, and he was like, listen, I'm all for you pursuing music, but just make sure that you have something in case it doesn't work out or in case you just feel like you don't want to do it anymore, which definitely happens to a lot of artists. And so, yeah, I just compromised with him. I was like, cool, I'll go to school for something practical. And he was like, great. And I did that. And ever since, my family has been pretty on board and, like, very supportive of my music career. And because most of my friends I grew up with are musicians anyways or are in the arts, they're always very supportive. And try and be there and support any way that they can. So I'm really lucky that way.
Awesome. Yeah. Did you grow up in Toronto?
I did, more specifically in the Durham area, like in the GTA. Yeah, born and raised here.
Cool, yeah. Do you have plans to leave Toronto for your music career, or do you, like, how do you feel about the space in Toronto for you?
That is such a tricky question. But I know a lot of people feel not great about the artistic spaces in Toronto. I feel like we definitely could be more supportive of each other, and, like, it would be great to kind of have, you know, like, your own, like, local actual, like, diehard fans. Like, when you go to New York and you go to Atlanta and all of these places in LA, they have, like, local celebrities. And I feel like we don't really have that here outside of Drake, but he got famous in the States before he was famous here. I actually found out about Drake when I was visiting Florida, and then I came back home and everybody was like, Drake. And I'm like, oh, this is literally a person who exists. And I think that it would be great for us to be more supportive of our own local artists. That being said, I wouldn't want to make it anywhere else. But I am definitely not opposed to, you know, going other places to further my music career. The one thing about, like, being in the arts, you kind of got to be, like, flexible. while you're planning, you can make plans and you can have your goals, but there's always going to be a lot of unexpected opportunities that come up. And so I'm certainly not opposed to like going away to further my career, but I think I'll always come back.
Mm-hmm. Where do you think you'd want to travel to? Maybe like New York, LA? What do you think?
Yeah, so I would love to travel to LA. I actually did spend some time in New York, which was really cool, and just like making some connections there. Yeah, I would love to go to Atlanta. I would love to like see what the UK music scene is like.
Mm-hmm.
And also like the Nigerian music scene, like that.
Cool.
Like the whole African culture, like Afro beats, I would love to be a part of that and like just like be immersed in that. So I'd definitely love to go to some of the countries in Africa and kind of, you know, see how their music scene is over there.
Totally, yeah. What do you think are some benefits or positives of the local music scene in Toronto?
I think that there are so many talented people here, like unlike any other place I've been to or seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the advantage that we have is that there are so many different cultures in Toronto.
Yeah.
It's insane. Like you can find your own community almost anywhere in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter where you're from, there's always like a group of people here that are from where you're from. You know what I mean? And that's really special, because then even though we kind of still have our own little pockets, we all come together to party. We all come together to celebrate. We all come together to make music. And then you get those like eclectic sounding, you know, tracks, because we're now mixing like Arabic music with dancehall, and we're mixing, you know, J-pop and K-pop with country. Like there's literally, it's endless. You could literally do anything here and it would sound amazing because of the talent that we have. And like, I think that's an advantage that we have on a lot of different places.
Yeah, definitely. Who are some talented local artists that you think deserve more spotlight?
I would say number one, I am a huge fan of Havaya Mighty.
Mm-hmm.
She is an amazing rapper, and I've literally watched her entire career. And although it's amazing to see how far she's gone, and it's fantastic to see like the lengths that she's gone and the people that she's reached, I really do believe that she deserves more recognition.
Mm-hmm.
For the talent that she brings and how hard she works. There's a couple of other people, Lou Calla, she's fantastic as well. Layla Day, an amazing R&B singer. There's so many people I wouldn't even know where to actually start.
It's a good problem to have.
Right? It's a good problem to have. I know a lot of talented people.
Mm-hmm.
And like even my team, Von Wayne Corp, I'm a part of like a collective, and we have a bunch of artists underneath our collective, and they are so ridiculously talented. So there's Von Wayne, there's Broadway Benson, there is Steph Rose, there's Kate Bulla, and we just have a group of such talented people, and I wish that, you know, the world was able to hear all of our music.
Who is a dream collaborator of yours? And you can go big on that one. You can literally choose anybody.
Okay, dream collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely her.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
If there was anybody right now in the music industry I could work with, it would certainly be her.
Cool. Awesome. What do you think you'd want to make with her?
Because she makes every kind of music, I honestly wouldn't even know.
Yeah.
It would really just have to be one of those where we sit in a room and whatever vibe, mm-hmm. you know, whatever vibe we're feeling, that's where we're going.
Yeah, anything. Yeah.
It could be anything,
mm-hmm.
which is great.
Cool. Who is a local artist that you'd love to collab with on something?
A local artist that I would love to collaborate? I would say maybe like Savannah Ray. I would love to collaborate with her.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to collaborate with like Mustafa. I think he's like very amazing. Who else? I would love to collaborate with Jessie Reyes. I guess she's not really like that local. She's pretty big, yeah. But she's from here.
Still.
Who else? I would love to collaborate with some of like the rappers from Toronto, like, you know, Fame and, again, like Havaya would love to work with her.
Mm-hmm.
Tara Lord would love to work with her. There's a ton of people that are on my bucket list.
Cool. Well, that sounds great. I mean, I hope you do. That'd be really exciting.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the goal for this year. The goal for this year for me is, definitely to collaborate with more Toronto artists.
Cool.
And no matter like how many followers they have, just strictly based off of talent and how I identify with their music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's a big goal of mine for 2022.
Awesome. Looking forward to it.
Thank you.
So we're going to hit pause on this conversation for a quick second and play everyone a single from Marley Unknown. Black Woman is a single, yeah. Black Woman is a single Marley dropped in 2021 about embracing confidence in your identity. anyone just joining us, this is Hot Shots on Air, and tonight I'm speaking with Toronto R&B artist Marley Unknown. So, we just came back from playing Black Woman, one of your more recent singles. What is that song about for you?
That song is really just about embracing all of the qualities of Black women, and I think that, you know, Black women kind of get this rep to be like, I guess, like hard bodies, like people who can take on anything. Mm-hmm. When in fact, like, I feel like a lot of Black women are very like soft, very feminine, very emotional. Mm-hmm. And, there's always this kind of stigma that we can handle anything. And, you know, we have to kind of be that like force for everybody. And there is a beauty in being vulnerable. There's a beauty in being, you know, able to break down.
Yeah.
And I think that it was important for me to share that, you know, we have a lot more qualities than being just strong Black women, which that's a beautiful thing. And it's great that the world sees us that way. But there are also a million qualities. We have beautiful, strong, smart, you know, generous, kind Black women. And we come in every kind of shade and we look different. And I guess what it was kind of to break down that stigma, and to kind of just blow up all of those assumptions, because we can literally be anything. I mean, just like any woman, right?
Yeah.
And so just like shattering those preconceived notions of Black women.
Totally. How long did that song take to write?
I actually wrote that song in about 15 minutes.
Nice.
Yeah, I think when I'm really inspired about something, I could literally write a song in like 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It was very special to me. I cried while writing it because while I was writing it, yes, I was thinking about a lot of women, but I think it was also an admission to myself that I don't need to be what people need me to be, but I'm allowed to be just who I am. And so it's honestly, that is such a special song to me, and it's never going to be one of those songs where like, it's like a throwaway, you know? I definitely would love to do like a re-release of it every couple of years because it's just, it has such a strong message and it's one of my favorite songs I've ever written.
I love that. Well, yeah, I love the track too. And if anybody listening missed it, you should go stream it right now.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Who did you work with to record and produce that track?
So, Aaron Ridge, which is actually a great close friend of mine and an amazing musician and artist, he actually produced that song for me. And Judah of Terminal 16, which is a studio here in Scarborough, he recorded it, mixed and mastered it. And honestly, it was just like a great team of people working on the song. And it was just so organic. I think everybody kind of fell in love with it. And so it was very easy to work on.
Cool. What do you hope your audience takes away from that song?
I hope that they take away individuality. I think that I want everyone to kind of recognize that the parts that maybe they don't love about themselves may be the thing that people love most about them, you know? And I was kind of reflecting on that the other day, just like with it being the new year and just trying to be more forgiving of ourselves, especially going through this pandemic. There's been a lot of like mental health issues, especially as it pertains to like identity, because a lot of us have been taken away from our jobs, which is a lot of our identity. Some of us have been taken away from performing, which is a part of our identity. And so I personally, at the beginning of the pandemic, which is when I wrote this song, actually was struggling a lot with that. And so I think I just wanted to like let people know, whether you are a Black woman or not, you can still identify, because the things that, you know, sometimes we as Black women think are our downfall are literally the most beautiful parts of us.
Yeah.
And so I just, whoever listens to it, I want them to know that the thing that they might be insecure about might be the thing that people love most about them. Mm-hmm. And so they should just be unapologetically themselves. And if people are meant to be in your circle, then they're meant to be. And if not, then that's just the way that life goes.
Yeah. Well, it's a beautiful message.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So the first single that you released under Marley Unknown is the song titled... Yeah, that's okay. Is the song titled Queen from 2020?
Yes.
Yeah. How long did it take to write that single?
So that single, funny enough, I was actually supposed to release another single as my first one, but I recorded it a while ago and I couldn't get the file for it for some reason. Yeah. And so I had already booked a studio session to like mix and master it, but then I didn't have anything to record at the session.
Sure.
I was like, okay. And I sat down and I literally just wrote that song within like an hour or two.
Oh, wow.
And literally right before the session is when I finished writing the song, and I went into the session super unprepared, which is not a good idea. I wrote it and I was like, ooh, this is kind of a bop and I really like it. So I'm like, okay, I think I'm going to release this as my first single.
Wow.
Instead.
Very spontaneous.
A little bit.
Yeah. Can you tell me a bit about the lyrics and what the main theme is behind that single?
Yeah, definitely. So it's kind of along the same lines of the project that I'm dropping currently. And I think it's just about like boundaries for me and making sure that you set expectations for what you want. It's really difficult to date in 2021 / 2022. I'm not sure if you have a partner or if you're single or if you're dating, but whoever is listening to this, if you're in the dating scene, I'm sure that you can agree with me. It's a lot. And so one thing that I have had to do is just set very strict boundaries about what I personally want out of a relationship, and knowing my worth enough to, like, not just fall for anybody that makes it seem good at the beginning, you know?
Yeah, totally.
And so it's kind of just a declaration, like, if you treat me well, if you, you know, pour your all into me, if you love me for who I am, then I'll be your queen. Like, I will give everything to you. And I'm a Scorpio, so I love really hard. So when I fall really hard. It's kind of like that. Yeah, like, I'm not just going to give in to just anybody. You got to, you know, work and recognize my worth. And once you do that, then I definitely will do that to you and embrace you and love you.
Yeah, awesome. Who did you work with to record and produce this one? So where was that again?
So this song I recorded and, I got this beat offline, actually. And I think it was 30 Hertz that produced this one. If not, I'll give you the actual producer.
Sure.
But I recorded this with Daryl Riley, who is like a goat in the R&B music scene. He's a great engineer. And he has his own studio as well in Scarborough. And it's called New Entertainment, and it's a great spot to record. He is literally all of the vibes. We had so much fun recording. And I also recorded that song with Price Music, and he now works with Nice Sounds. Honestly, it was just a great vibe. We got into the studio, and even though, like, it was pretty spontaneous and I kind of didn't know exactly where I wanted to go with the track, like, it gave me so much inspiration, and it ended up coming out great.
Cool. That's great. How was the reaction from your listeners when you dropped it? And how did you go marketing it as an indie artist?
So because I've been doing music for quite a long time, I think a lot of people were anticipating music from me, and I would always get that question, like, hey, when are you dropping music? When are you dropping music? So I did a whole rebrand. I used to go by a different name before. And then I did a whole rebrand, and I think I had changed my Instagram to that name for a month, and I had nothing posted on the page. And people were like, hey, like, what's going on? Like, why are you, like, ghost on Instagram? Like, what's going on? And I was like, just wait for it. And so when I announced that I was releasing a track under that new name, I just had a wave of support in the best way. It was fantastic. And I was honestly super overwhelmed. I didn't really think that many people wanted to hear music from me. But yeah, I posted it and a bunch of people were like, wow, this is amazing. I'm so excited. I can't wait. And then when I released it, it just, yeah, people loved it and we dropped a video for it. And yeah, it went really well, a lot better than I expected.
Beautiful. Awesome. What do you hope your audience takes away from that single?
That single, honestly, it really is more than anything like a very feel-good song. I want when people listen to that song, they feel confident and they feel sexy and they feel valuable and valued. And yeah, like it was just a nice little summer vibe. I mean, the message is obviously beautiful, but realistically, I love that song because it makes me dance. Yeah. And I have a 3-year-old son, and every time I play that song, he gets so excited and he starts dancing to it.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
He's your biggest fan.
Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. But he also, I think he's overhearing me sing to him.
So, also back in 2020, you released your single Real.
Yeah.
How long did that song take to write?
So funny enough, that was actually the first song that I wanted to release.
Okay.
That song took me longer. I think that song took me about 2 weeks to write.
Mm-hmm.
And it was still pretty early in my writing stages. So I was very unsure about how I felt about it, and I was very like skeptical of myself because I wasn't really confident in my writing at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And so that one took a bit longer, but it definitely, I think, is the song that's like most true to me musically. There's lots of melodies, there's lots of different cadences in it, lots of harmonies, and it's really like that 2000s R&B authentic vibe. And that's what I mostly grew up on. So yeah, that song was, I think that was like the first song that I was like, okay, like I think I'm good enough to release this one, but I still wasn't super confident.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, when I recorded it properly and got it mixed and mastered, I was pretty happy with how it came out.
Awesome. What's the story behind the lyrics?
I guess it was kind of the same thing. I was like dating and I felt like nobody was really looking for an actual relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I kind of still find that now. If you talk to people, they're like, yeah, you know, I don't know if I'm ready for like a real relationship yet, or like ready to settle down. So I was kind of fed up with that. And I'm like, man, like, is anything like, is love really actually real? Or is this kind of like a finesse? Like, and I remembered sitting there and kind of like talking to some people that I know about like their marriages and stuff like that, and how, you know, things can get a little bit messy and sometimes you don't even want to be with the person. And I was like, man, like, what am I looking forward to here?
Yeah.
And so that song ended up just coming out through those feelings and mm-hmm. kind of questioning, like, is there actually such thing as true love, or are we kind of just going with an institution that was already built for us without kind of like questioning what happens in the long run or what happens when you're in it and it's not working out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's kind of where that came from.
Yeah. Yeah. And who did you, produce and record that single with?
So I can't remember who produced the song. It was so mm-hmm. long ago.
Yeah.
But who recorded this? His name is Kaz.
Mm-hmm.
He recorded it, and then it was mixed and mastered by Judah.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. And yeah. So in 2021, following up the next year, you released mm-hmm. 7 singles, which yeah. is a ton.
a lot of music.
Yeah. Do you have a personal favorite?
Yes, my personal favorite song that I released last year is definitely, I Don't Need No. That was like the most fun song for me to write. Mm-hmm. I dropped that one pretty recently. But earlier in last year, I dropped a song with one of my closest friends. Her name is Friday. She's also an artist, and she does like more EDM kind of like pop music. We met through Honey Jam, and we have been wanting to work together for years, and it just didn't end up happening. I wrote this song called Alone, and it was like a throwaway song for me. I was like, I don't know how I feel about this. Mm-hmm. And because it wasn't really my regular vibe.
Yeah.
And the more I started listening to it, I was like, oh my gosh, you know who would sound amazing on here? And I sent it to Friday, and she just like, she killed it.
Cool.
And so we had so much fun recording that in the studio together. Like, that was a great time. And then we shot a video for it, which was even more fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was, like, one of my best musical experiences that I had this year.
Yeah, totally. Are these singles possibly hinting at, like, an EP or an album with a new feature? Is that anything you want to talk about?
Yes. So I actually am dropping a project at the end of this month.
Oh.
The last three songs that I dropped are from this project. So I dropped a song called To Be Honest, Never the One.
Mm-hmm.
And then I dropped I Don't Need No. And then the other day, literally on the last day of the year, I dropped the song Respectfully.
Yeah.
And those songs are going to be on the EP. And there will be three other songs on the EP
as
well.
Awesome.
So, yeah, I'm really excited.
Cool. So I figured we'd talk about the song that I'm going to throw at the end of this interview. It's called Midnight, and that's a single that you dropped in 2021. And can you give a little description as to what that song's about?
Yeah, definitely. So, okay, so I wrote that song through the pandemic, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess maybe people would want to know this, but I guess I had like a little like sneaky link or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
For anybody that's not from Toronto that doesn't know what a sneaky link is, it's like, you know, like a little like hookup or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time I didn't really have like anything that I was motivated to write about. And one day I was just like with him and he's like, why don't you just write a song about this? And I'm like, you know what? That's not a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote this song called Midnight, and essentially it's just about, like, having a sneaky link and, like, only wanting to, you know, be with that person mm-hmm. at midnight because that's when, you know, stuff goes down.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and I wrote it, and my manager was like, whoa, I love this song. This is great. I'm like, okay, dope. It's definitely a little bit of a different sound for me, like, content wise because I don't really super delve into that a lot in my music, but I was like, why not? Everybody's inside, that's what they're doing anyways. I mean, a lot of people can't do anything else, stores were closed, clubs were closed. So, that was kind of the vibe that was going on at the time, so I'm like, okay, I know that people are gonna identify with this. And so it was definitely a fun song to write and release, and then I released a video for that as well.
I bet, yeah. How long did it take you to write it?
That song, I initially wrote it to a completely different beat, and I hated it.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and found another beat and rewrote the entire song. So that took probably about 2 or 3 weeks to, like, come to a conclusion of what I actually wanted.
Totally.
About 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah. Do you hope it gets added to a few people's bedroom playlists?
Oh, yeah. I actually have had people tell me that, which is, like, super weird.
Sure.
But, like, it's weird, but, like, it's good.
Mm-hmm. No, totally. I mean, that's the point, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's, like, when it's people that you know, you're like, ugh, TMI, bro.
Yeah, really. How do you feel as though your songwriting has changed since you first started writing?
I think I'm a little bit more fearless.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to, like, write a song and then hope that people kind of identify with it. Or, like, sometimes I write things and I'm like, man, like, this is kind of personal. Like, should I be sharing this?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that my music for me is my release, and I wouldn't be true to myself if I didn't talk about the things that I know or the things that I experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, like, one of the most difficult parts for me was just kind of, like, throwing away the, you know, the shield that we put over, that vulnerability shield. You don't want anybody to see, you know, those certain parts of you. And so I just had to be, like, a little bit more fearless and just being like, okay, the more fearless I am, the more authentic I am to myself is the better that the music is going to come out. So, yeah, that was definitely, like, a big lesson that I learned on my writing journey.
Mm-hmm. What are your goals for the new year?
One of my goals, as I mentioned before, is definitely collaborating with more Toronto artists.
Mm-hmm.
Just artists in general. Like, I would love to work with some people in the States. I actually do have a song with an R&B singer from Arizona, I believe.
Cool.
And so I'm probably going to drop that within the new year. And I'm really excited about that and just working with other people on music.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think it's just to, like, go with the flow a little bit more.
Yeah.
Last year, I pushed myself so much. Like, I released so much music. I wrote and recorded so much music because I wanted to kind of have a repertoire when people looked up my name.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that I kind of have that solid base, I'm like, I would like to, like, go with the flow a little bit more, take more time on my music. I think this year is a lot for me about, like, rest and things happening organically and just allowing for, you know, for kind of, like, my destiny to just take place.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think I want to be able to take the first part of the year to just, like, write and reflect and work with other people and be able to exchange energies. And then hopefully by the end of the year, I will have a solid other project that I can release to you guys.
Beautiful. Yeah. And yeah. I what can we look forward to seeing from you, which I guess is that project?
Yeah. So this project is called To Be Honest. It's coming out on the 31st of this month. I'm super excited. I think this is, like, the most raw and real music that I've ever written, like, mm-hmm. all just in one project. Very much Scorpio energy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as well, just, like, look out for more collabs from me and some more new singles. I know that we're going back into lockdown. I was hoping to perform a lot more this year, but we'll kind of see. we'll see where that goes. Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun.
Yeah, this is great. Thank you. Everyone listening, you can find Marley on our socials and all streaming services as Marley Unknown, but Unknown is spelled with an X, not an O. And we're going to wrap up this episode with another single from Marley. Midnight is a sensual single that Marley dropped in 2021 about sexual chemistry and getting it on.
Hey everyone, this is Marley Unknown, and you're listening to Hot Shot on Air on the 101.5 The Hawk.